Roman obeys. Yeah, we're at the fifth line. Tani. Begunave, it's the last narrow line. Begunave, be it beis laish, v'lom be beis laish. And everybody goes crazy about this. They say, what do you mean? It means that if you steal from a man and not from, you only steal from a man, you pay kefil, not if you steal from a woman, can't be, right? Why should you pay kefil if you steal from a woman? So therefore, everybody changes the girsa. They change it. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people change the girsa. Shai Terzel changes it based on the Gemara Elser in Yushami. Beguna beis ish v'lomi beis haganav. You steal from a ganav, then you don't pay kefil, right? Similarly, he brings down another drasha, which we don't have in front of us. Beguna beisa, which is perhaps more important and will fit into the rest of the line. Beguna beisa ish v'lomi beis hashoel. Only if it's stolen from the house of the owner, not from the house of a shoel. But if you steal from the house of a borrower, then you don't pay the original owner double. Why is that? Because already all the liability is in the hands of the borrower. The borrower has all the liability. So therefore, the ganav does not incur additional liability by stealing. Therefore, he only pays kefil, single payment, not kefil. Okay? Why not? How can you reject shoel on the basis of the word ish? Kol atzmo ein ksiv, it should be ish el b'shoel. It said by shoel, the word ish. It's interesting. Shai Terzel explains. It always says that you borrow from a person, except by a shoel, it says b'chiyishal ish me'es reyehu. There, the word ish pertains to the borrower. So how can you use the word ish, beguna beis ish, to preclude a borrower when it's stolen from the house of somebody who borrowed it from you, if the borrower in the pasuk is called an ish? So that should include the borrower. The Gemara doesn't answer. But the Gemara says, God's going to exceed ish el b'shoel. The Tamar Achei is going to say the shoel is excluded, but the Maisa, the way Shai Teres explains it, even though the Gemara doesn't answer here, but the answer is based on Tzibola. In other words, if you steal from somebody from the owner, or from somebody who's a shomer of the owners, and as of limited liability, then the ganav has to be kefil. But the shoel, the ganav stole from somebody who has full liability, such as a shoel, only a shoel, then in that case, there is the act of ganeva has diminished repercussions, and therefore there's diminished payment. You only pay one payment, but you don't pay kefil. Okay? Ain't a goy debacher ganav. Similarly, if somebody steals, this is a quote from a Mishnah actually. Ain't a goy debacher ganav. Somebody steals from a ganav. Ain't a goy debacher ganav. Mishnah deshul me'arachamisha. If you steal from a ganav and then you steal a slaughter or you sell the animal, there's no payment of quadruple or quintuple. The Escoria manuscripts and adds in over here in line. It has ganav v'nigdavayimenu. You stole the object, and it was stolen from you. You're the ganav, right? Chaka nimtzes hagneva. And then the gneva was found lying in the street. And so he wants to be mekayim hashava saveda. So who does he mekayim hashava saveda to? Lemiu mishalim, the Scoria manuscript says. Lerishon, lasheni, lashneyan. So who does he give back the aveda? To the guy from whom it was stolen? To the thief? Or does he have to give it back to both of them together? It's an interesting question, right? You would assume he gives it back to the original owner, right? But on the other hand, the ganav needs a snort to be mekayim its mitzvah of evasion of his
exhalo. The second
ganav
did a
shino,
therefore he's calling the object.
No, where is it? He didn't ask.
Talk about the bacher, talk about for sure.
What? No. I'll tell you about you stole, and it was stolen from you, and then it was lost afterwards. Plain, right? So the question would be kind of shavas aveda too. Doesn't say. Be that as it may, now we continue on for the similar case, and here we have it again. The second word line, ganav you stole v'nigavay menu, and it was stolen from you. The tufsu bailim es hasheni, and the bailim grabbed on to the second ganav. Right, they found the second ganav, and they accused him of having stolen it. V'nishbat lohed, and the second ganav took a false oath that he didn't have the stolen object. So, in Tamar motzim in hasheni, To whom, if you're going to say that you take it, extract it from the second guy, and give it back to the original owner, so then the shvua taken towards the original owner was the correct shvua to take, and he lied on the shvua. And since he lied on the shvua, the asterbein Torah requires a carbon shvua, right? Then and he give back to the original owner, maybe carbon al hashvua. He brings the carbon on the shvua. He tell you say emos yirushani. If ever you say that no, the second ganav is a litigant of the first ganav, but not of the original owner. The original owner doesn't leapfrog over the first ganav. The first ganav goes to the second ganav, and the original owner goes to the first ganav. So if that's the case, though anyway, baby, avi carbon shvua. Then the second ganav, even though he lied in the shvua that he took, he wouldn't bring a carbon shvua. Why? Because you only bring a carbon shvua if the person who made you take the shvua was entitled to do so. Your shvua is the proper response to that person, and you lied. Which is amazing irony. Of course, this whole Gemara is not in the Bavli at all. It's an amazing irony, because the original owner should ultimately get his object back. But it could be the ganav in the middle is a buffer between him and the second ganav. And therefore, the proper litigation is between thief number one and thief number two, not between original owner and thief number two. It's very strange, but it's not beyond the boundaries of logic. Okay? So, strange, I can live with. Says, Ganav v'nignavai menu. You still get, so the original owner, stolen from him, thief number one. Thief number two stole from thief number one. V'nimlach hasheni lachzir. And now thief number two decides, he wants to do tshuva. To whom, he wants to give it back. Who does he give it back to? Etamer yachzir by him. You say he's going to give to the original, what? You're going to say he's going to give to the original owner. Parim shem odim laganav. Sometimes the original owner won't tell the ganav, and the ganav number one is still going to go after ganav number two. Etamer yachzir ganav, if he's going to give it back to ganav number one, parim shem odim labailim. Sometimes ganav number one will say, yashar koyach. And he'll keep it himself, right? So what do you do? Keitzad, how can the second guy, how can you become a full Baal Tshuva? Keitzad, what you do? Yachzir l'bailim b'fnei ha'ganav. He gives the original owner in front of the ganav, so everybody knows that the matter has come to closure. Okay? Halacha beis. Ganav apishnayim. You stole, and two witnesses saw you steal. And these two witnesses saw you also slaughter or sell the animal. Or two other witnesses saw you slaughter or sell the animal. You have to pay quadruple or quintuple. The halacha is for a lamb, you pay quadruple. For a ox, you pay quintuple. Okay? Ganav u'machar b'Shabbos, if you stole and sold on Shabbos, which is not also the Raisa, only the Rabbanan, right? Ganav u'machar b'Rezor, you stole and sold on Rezor, might be also the Raisa, but it's not a Chiyum Misa. Ganav v'tovach b'Yom HaKippurim, it says machar, but the Bavli doesn't have that word. You stole and you slaughtered Yom Kippur, which is only Nisr Koris. And the Yushalmi learns there's no Kilin Rabbanei by Nisr Koris. Nisr Koris does not expunge you from the necessity to pay. Ganav b'shalav, you sold for your own father. V'tovach u'machar, and then you slaughtered or sold the animal. V'chakach meis ovin, and your father died, so you became liable to all payments prior to your father's death. In all these cases, v'shalim tashlim aron chamish, you can still got to pay. Ganav v'tovach. Now, if you stole and you slaughtered, and the next word of machar is not in the Bavli, it makes no sense. You have to take it out. Ganav etovach v'chakachikdish. You stole, you slaughtered, and then you makdish the meat. Right? You makdish the steaks. You made them kodesh. Okay? You still ain't good. Meshai teshu arvachamisha. You had to pay four or five times because the hekdish came after you sold it, after you slaughtered it. So for the stealing and slaughtering, chayv for quadruple quintuple. Ganav etovach. And again, the machar makes no sense here. If take it out, the Bavli doesn't have either. So, ganav v'machar, you stole and you sold. You sold and you slaughtered for the purpose of refuah, for the purpose of medicine. Not to eat, but for medical purposes. L'klavim, or you slaughtered not to eat, but for the purpose of giving your dogs. or a shoychem b'nim says treifa, or somebody who slaughters and finds the animal was a treifa, so the shechita wasn't a proper shechita, or a shoychem chulin bazar, somebody slaughters chulin in the base of mikdash. So Mishai Tishlim Aruch HaMishin, all these cases are considered to be sufficient slaughter to pay 4 or 5 times. Mishim Padr Shehu Hashim says the last two cases, if you found it was trade or you shechted chulin in the Azara, so then there's no payment for the shechita, because that's called the shechita shenerui, an improper shechita. Okay? Now I want to ask a question, only the question is not here. Mechamayim is now, the question is really the beginning of the Halach Dal, a blot and a half hence. And there it says that and really it brings out a fragment of our Gemara over there which should just be erased, and we will do that when we get there this evening. But Naaman, the kash is like this. The kash is, if you're toveach, why, if you're toveach on Shabbos, we didn't have that mission, we're going to have it subsequently. If you slaughter on Shabbos or for Avodah Zarah, you're potter from tashlumin. You are potter from paying. Kimle Rabine. Right? Okay, oh, come on. When you get killed, you don't have to pay. You get cleared off to pay. Yet here, what happened to the little notebook you used to keep? So you're parted from payment because you get the more severe punishment. But what about here in our Mishnah, is slaughter on Yom Kippur still liable to pay? Why don't we say here also, Kilo Rabbinay, because you get chorus, right? So, and the Gemara brings down interesting, and the Gemara really flips it around. And Gemara asks, why are there you're not liable twice? Now, bring your case, you chayv two punishments. So, you chayv two punishments, even you're gonna have a tavach on Shabbos. What's the case? V'lo kem Rabbi Yevo, b'shem Rabbi Yochan, Rebo, sin Rabbi Yochan, hezit b'chelev. This goes back decades to Masech the Shabbos. We normally think of shogeg, of course, as being where you did that very accidentally, right? But there's a most concept of the Shabbos. My Dhammer told that even if you did the aver intentionally, yet forgot that there's a chi of korban, then you shogeg vis-a-vis the korban, you can bring a korban. Okay? So what happens like this? Hezi b'chelev, where if you b'mezid, eight chelev, eight forbidden fats. Bishoy carbon, you forgot that there was a carbon involved in that. Okay? So then, Masribo, we give him a double whammy. We warn him. For Loika, we flog him. Maybe carbon, and he brings a carbon as well. So since that's okay, so there we see a double punishment. Malchus and carbon. So to you, why don't we say double punishment? When he's shecht on Shabbos, say, Misa, we kill you, and you have to pay nonetheless, right? Says Zamar, a very cute answer. Got to give the Gemara credit for this one. Rebun Bar Chia B'Shem, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said no. K'dei Rishoso. It says in Torah, K'dei Rishoso. What's K'dei Rishoso? I mean, that's one of the sources for the Halacha Kidin Rabbanan. You only give the more severe one. So you only give him one penalty. But that's only Shnei Dvarim Mesurim L'Beis Din, when there are two penalties which Beis Din imposes. HaToyfeis Echad Me'em. Then you only impose one of the two. So when there's Misa's Beis Din and Malchus to impose, or Misa's Beis Din and money to impose, and so forth, you only impose one of the two. However, Yotze Dovah Shemasa Shemaim, that precludes somewhere the penalty is at the hands of heaven. So in our Mishnah, who's going to smite you down for being Toveach on Yom Kippur? Not Beis Din, God, right? So therefore, there's no Kilin Rabbeinu. Because God imposes his penalty, and we impose our penalty. Everybody lives happily ever after, or dies shortly thereafter. As opposed to the case of later on, where it's two penalties in the hands of man, there you don't impose both. Okay? Only Misa and not Moman. Okay? Now the Gemara gets really interesting. Gone about Bishnai. You stole, now the next Gemara, I cannot stress how fascinating it is. Enough, because the next plot is all of this is not the Bavli at all. Not the Bavli. Gonav Apishnai. What? Gonav Apishnai. Not the Mishnah, of course. Mishnah's there. Gonav Apishnai. You slaughtered on the basis of two witnesses. Reuven and Shimon testified that Yankel stole. Okay? The Torah Machrapi and the same two witnesses, Reuven and Shimon testified that he either slaughtered or sold it. needs a zoyim, and they're found to be edim zoyim. B'shaim and lois, okay, they pay all four or five payments, right? To the ganav, right? To the person who really didn't steal, but they trumped up the charges based on him. Ganav b'shnayim, Reuven shem testified that he stole. V'tam ganav b'shnayim achem, and Levi and Yehuda testified that he stole or slaughtered. So, Eilav Eilav Nimtzu Zoyimim, both of them are found to be Zoyimim, HaGishoinim, Reuven and Shimon, who testified about the Gneva, they pay Mishnah Teshlum Kefil. They pay the initial payment of double but for the Gneva itself. V'achroinim, Levi Yehuda testified as to the Tficho or the Mechira, Mishnah, they pay Teshlum Shlesha. They pay triple, meaning the remainder, 5 minus 2 is 3. Which is what you pay for the tvicha, because that's what they testify. What if, on the other hand, you slave and Yehuda are found to be Edim Zayimim? In that case, he, the ganav, still stole. We didn't, Reuven Shimon's testimony still stands. So he still has to pay kefil. Fahain, the second set of witnesses, Levi and Yehuda, Mishamim, Tashlumi, Shlesha, they pay 3 times. Echamin Achroinim Zayimim. What if only one of the last group of witnesses is found to be an Eid Zoyim? And we know that one, then in that case there's no payment made. Because they both have to be found to be Eid Zoyim in order to make payments. But one of them is found to be Eid Zoyim, Batla Eid Ushniyah. The second testimony is canceled. All we know is about the theft. We don't know anything about Tvicha Mechira because they only have one Eid on the Tvicha Mechira. But if one of the first set of Reuven and Shimon is found to be Eid Zoyim, Butler Koledus, and the entire thing collapses. Shem ain't Gneva, ain't Tvicha ve Mechira. Need to have the proper documentation of the Gneva in order to go on to Tvicha and Mechira afterwards. Otherwise, the whole house of cards falls, and there's no liability whatsoever. Okay? Ready, guys? I'm Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Zira said, Hadoa Meros. This, by the way, is a Bryce. This is also a discussion elsewhere in the Ujami and Makas. Lieberman thinks that this is the primary place, and he's probably right, even though it's Samech says primary place in Makos, but it seems this is the primary discussion. Amrezir HaDomras teaches us. Eid Zoymim ein Nifsal beBeisdin, and Eid Zoymim is not found to be possible in Beisdin, Elameatmo Nifsal. He's possible on his own. Now, so much ink has been spilled trying to figure out what that line means. Backwards, forwards, changing the Yirsa, not changing the Yirsa. So, Rabbi, let me give you some background material here. Rabbi's machlokas between the Bavli, very famous machlokas. Eid zoymim mafreya nifsal mikanu lahava nifsal. And Eid zoymim, when does he become possible? Does he become possible from the time that he testified in court, which is mikanu lahava? It's going to have possible from the time that the episode took place. Sorry. Does the tape become possible from the time that he testified? Does it become possible from the time that the Eidim Zomim came? Right? That it became the Eidim Zomim. So that's how he testified on Rosh Chodesh B'cheshvan. And the Eidim came to testify against him that he was a plotting witness on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So if you hold Eid Zomim Afreya Unifsal, so when did it become possible? When did it become possible? It was retroactive. From the original testimony on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. But if you all Eid Zoyim Mikanu L'Havo Nifsal, so when does it become possible? When the Mezimim come, which is on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Now, there's a tremendous machlokes HaKohanim here. What does the Yerushalmi hold? Does Yerushalmi hold Eid Zoyim L'Mafreya Mikanu L'Havo? I'm going to throw in my lot with the Aruch HaShulchan, in his Perush to Mechamayim, who says, Yushami holds Eid Zoyim Mekanu L'Havo Nifsal. He's really should be puzzled only from Rosh Chodesh Kislev, from the time that the witnesses come and say these puzzles, not retroactively. Okay? However, Rabbi Zira says, the thing is like this, and Eid Zoyim, when he's puzzled, he's parceled not retroactively, but any testimony he testified with the testimony which was found to be incorrect is rendered invalid as well. As long as the testimony was in one, what we call in Hebrew, Haggadah, one testimony. Okay, so that's he's saying, Basin does a possum retroactively, but that which he said on his own in the same statement, that is possum. Okay, now how does that work out? Possum law basloya. He says it's talking about hasroya. Hasroya normally means warning, and may the fortune translate it like that. But Lieberman, and he brings it, it's not his idea, it was a Tanoim Yushalmi who says this, says that here hasroya means in one unit. Hasroya achas, and Lieberman brings riots from several places in Yushalmi. Hasroya doesn't necessarily mean warning, it also means one unit. Okay? So when it's in one unit, then everything he said in that unit is possible. But otherwise, it only comes possible from here on in. Now, the Yerushalmi brings a raya. But Tanike, I have a price like this. Rabbi Yisrael said, Ba'med Varim Murim, when is this true? Now, this is a price, so Bnei Moshe brings it down, further down in the wide lines. He says that it's about two people testify, if two people testify that he stole, and two others testify that he slaughtered or sold. So then, those who are found to be Zoymimim, and two of the found ones who testify in the slaughter are found to be Zoymimim, he pays double and they pay triple. And then, on that, Rabbi Yossi says what it says in our Mishnah. By Medvar, in this price, I'm sorry, at the top here. By Medvar, where's the Trubishteya Duyos? If it's two testimonies, Bushteya Tzloyos. And it's still done on two instances. Avobedu Sachas! But if the same group, Reuven and Shimon, came, and they said that the Ganav stole and slaughtered, and it was Basloy Achas, it was one unit, even if they're only found to be Edim Zoymimim on the Tvicha Mechira, which is, of course, the second event, nevertheless, Kol Edim Shabbat Lamitzas Abad Lakula. What? Edus is a group. One group in one testimony. Because the beginning of the Brisa, which is not here in front of us, but it's in the Pnei Moshe, talks about two groups and two testimonies. So he's saying one group in one testimony. Okay, so Edus, it's actually like the Yiddish, you know, in the yeshivas they use, instead of saying Edim, they say Edus. Remember that? So it's actually the same idea here. Edus Achas means one group of witnesses. Okay? So in any event, now the Gemara says, by the way, I'm quite proud of myself because I'm going to learn this entire blot without changing a single word, which is pretty neat because you should see what the Gilead of Ephraim does. He basically rips the Gemara up into small pieces and glues them back together again. It's in different ways. So I didn't do that. I'm quite proud of myself. But I do have to change a little bit of the literal meaning here in order to do that. So says Mara, Mao Shabbat Lamitzasa Batla Kula. Now, normally this is a query, an explanation, but here it's actually an attack. It says, what do you want to say? It's Eidah Shabbat Lamitzasa Batla Kula? That's the only reason why it becomes puzzle? Otherwise, the Eid Zoymeim does become puzzle retroactively, only from the date that the Mezimim come? What about the following case? They come basically Eidah Kula Basin on the 10th day of Nisan. And they testify Shagunav Shor Be'echad B'Nissan. They testify that the guy stole an ox on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the first day. Tavach Umachar, and that he slaughtered or stole it or sold it Basar B'Nissan on the 10th day of Nissan. Okay, whose more they found to be Eidim Zoymim B'Chamish Rosar B'Nissan. Now that happens to be the first day Pesach. So Kash out of my time. See, we're just pulling the dates out of the hat, right? There's no base on the 15th day of Nisan, but we're just pulling dates out of the hat, right? Kol Eidus, so the Gemara wants to contend. Of course he's puzzled on the testimony concerning both the Gneva and the Tvicha Mechira. But is it not because of Eidzoim Imlema Freya Unifsal? Is not because of Kol Eidu Sheidu Me'asor Benisan Ar Chamisho Asor Benisan Lema Freya Re'elim Psulos? It's not because of Basachat, because every testimony from the 10th day of Nisan to the 15th day of Nisan is possible. Now, truth is, the year of the Gemara is a little bit Makatzer. and in Bacchus is a little bit longer. That even they testified on the, to the Gemara here proposes, even they testified about the Gemara Bacchus, I think, proposes. Even they testified the 10th day of Nisan about the Gneva, and the 11th day of Nisan about the Tfilcha Mechira. And on the 15th day of Nisan, that they were found to be Adam Zoymimim. So the, that stretches back to the 10th, and possible testimony the 11th too. That's a more condensed. Says more, no! No, not true. It doesn't work that way. It's only if they testify testimony on the Gneva and on the Tfilcha Mechira was simultaneous, not simultaneous, but in one testimony. And you can't say anything else about it. In other words, you can't. Usually, leishmaminok means you can't derive anything. But it wasn't the price of it, but that was a hypothetical case. What you mean is your hypothetical case is meaningless. Vitanike! And here comes the coup de grace. The Gemara says, and I have a price which proves my point. And it's interesting, price, not brought down none of this. I said none of this is Bavli. None of it. Hena yu yishoinim, hena yu achroim. The case is like this. Shift gears totally. Babasra. How many years did you establish Chazaka? This is where Pnei Moshe brings down. How many years? Three years. One group of witnesses testifies on the entire 3 years. Found to be Adam Zoymim. Obviously, there all 3 years falls off. What if you have three groups? One on the first year, one on the second, one on the third year. So if one falls off, the other two don't fall off. Right? Each one is separate. What if this is the thing. What if the what happens if the first group testifies, if the one group testifies, but at three separate times? About the three separate years. That's what I'm going to say about it. Tani, Hena Yerushalayim, this is the bright song. The same group of witnesses came on each year and testified. Uzma Rishon, so the bright song says, if they found to be Yerushalayim about year one, meaning that none of their testimony is valid. If year one is undermined, so is year two and so is year three. Bishnia, if they're found to be Amos about the second year, Hare Elu Edus Echad. So one testimony still is extant. Which one? First one, not the next two. Shlishis, they're found to be Amos about the third year, Hare Elu Shteyedus. Two testimonies are still extant. Which two? First two. So says the Gemara, "Hey Chidami, what are we talking about? Im b'miidim olav b'krach achas b'krach echad. If they testified in one testimony about all 3 years, v'leitach shma min alklum. Again, the strange, same funny language. You can't derive this halacha. If they testified about all 3 years at once, you can't say, well, they only found to be zoymi on part of it and not on the other part." Because everybody holds Eidus Shebatlo Mitzvos above Mechula. In that case, for sure, we'd have to take them all three off. So what must it be? Lo asyado elai de Eidus Sagyo. It only works where you have many testimonies, right? Many testimonies, which work out, right? You have separate testimonies on each issue. Right? So if you have separate testimonies on each issue, so then even if they fall off on one, you can accept it on the others. Right? So that's so. Wait a minute. But now I'm feeling my carefully built house of cards is falling apart. One second. So the K is the separate testimonies. So what? My problem is that now, I thought I understood it this morning, but now I have a problem. Because L'chaira, so okay, so it was happened through three separate testimonies. But why, if they became puzzle on the first one, do not accept the subsequent two, if we don't hold Eidzim and Mafreyu, and if so? But Eidzim is not puzzle retroactively, so why do the other two testimonies fall? Here it says that they do fall, but the premise which the Aruch HaShulchan lays down is that we don't say Eidzim and Mafreyu, and if so. So why do the subsequent testimonies after the first one fall in this case? What? Why did it depend on the first one?
Because then, if the first basis is not valid, and we don't have a chazaka for that year.
Why? Why, if you have year three, do years one and two count?
Why, if you don't, why if it's year three?
The other way around.
Well, you don't have chazaka, you have a valid
date. So each year is being taken independently. That's what it means here. Saying, but I just don't understand how it works out with the. Certainly know, let's see what we do know. We do know here that A, that we don't say that this is working. We're proving that it possibles imidim echda imidim alabikrach echod leishma minaklum. It would be testifying all together so that we couldn't say this. It's got to be that see, the Pnei Moshe himself says here. That's what I don't know how to deal with this. Look at the top Pnei Moshe. Pnei Moshe says Tani came to be Kanu Lahaba who Nifso. That's not retroactive, right? What do you mean it's not retroactive? If it's not retroactive, so why don't we accept? And the Pnei Moshe himself has to explain. Forget about the Mechamayim. The Pnei Moshe himself has to explain, based on this, how we know it's Mikano Lahaba. L'chora we see, even L'chora here, the apostles, even L'mafreya. Why is there proof here that it doesn't possible my Freya? I got it. It's Valvatish, but maybe it'll work. We'll see how you like it. It doesn't matter what order they testified. It doesn't say whether they testified on the first year first, on the second year second, and on the third year third. The Braisa doesn't differentiate that way. The Braisa says as long as they testified on three different occasions, so then, even if they're found to be Zomimim, on one of those, it depends which one it was. And this goes back to what you two said before. If they're found to be Zomimim on the first year, then the other 2 years fall. Not because the other 2 years fall because they are, if you don't have first year, there's nothing to build a chazaka on, right? If they found something on the second year, the first year stands, but then the next year's fall. If you found something on the third year, then the first 2 years stand, the third year falls. And the Braisa doesn't distinguish in what order they testified. So even if they were neat, let's say they testified in the third year first, and then the second year, and then the first year, in reverse order for some reason, nevertheless, even if they're found to be Einam Zomim on the third year, the first 2 years still stand.
Because
it makes no difference the order. And because Ein Zomim Yukan Olahabo Nifsal, that's why it makes no difference the order. And the only time it's going to be a problem if it's in Bebas Achas.
Then I go back to your question. The point is that we're accepting your testimony. Your testimony on each year is really separate.
Right.
So even if the first year is possible, we still have valid testimony on the second and third year, which is not contingent on the first year. That was a fundamental thrust, is that every datus is really separate.
Yeah, that's true. Let's talk about back to the Braisa a minute. Hein ha Yerushalayim, hein ha Yochroidim. They are the first and they are the last, meaning they testify on all of them. V'uzum b'rishoyna en b'kachlu, they're muzum on the first year, en b'kachlu. Maybe we can tie this up. No, it would be. It's a Tosefta of Basra, though. Won't do any good. No, we need a Mesechta. They need a Mesechta of Basra.
Yeah.
Is there a Basra there? Well, I mean, I can't go on. Let me get one. see if we get any inspiration. Well, that's probably not, but let's try one more time. Tanike, we went to Bryce, that it's all Mikano Lahaba, as we're saying all along, that the only thing that really based never. Based. Basin doesn't parcel them. They only parcel themselves when they testified to in one unit on the same thing. Hainu Yerushalayim and Yerushalayim, for example, they testified on 3 years of Chazakah. Testified 1 year, and 2 year, and 3 year. Who's over a Shoina in Bekachlu? If they're testified on the Tosefta itself says in Biyotoklu. If they're testified in the first year and they're found to be Muzomim, so that undermines them for all 3 years. The Shana testified in the second year, there it says that he has 1 year under his belt. Shana is found to be Muzoim on the third year, there it says he has 2 years under his belt. If they're testifying upon it in one unit together, right? Then it can't be that you separate all three. How can you separate them out, right? You have to be mevato all the testimony. The only way it works is by multiple edus. But you know what? Now I have the pshat. It works. What the truth is, what Yerushalmi is doing, it's not trying to prove Eitzayim U'Mafreya Onisso Mikal Habanisso. That was my mistake. My mistake was that wasn't what we began with. All we began was Rabbi Zira's statement. Eitzayim Enifso but based in Elamei Atzmo Nifso. And Eitzayim is only parceled, it's not parceled by based in, he's parceled on his own. Meaning what? What does that mean? All that means is that whatever testimony he said and whatever was associated with that testimony, which is found to be apostle, Basin says, on that you're an Eitzayim and you're apostle. But Basin does not extrapolate from there to assume that this witness is an A, quote-unquote, A apostle. And that therefore all of his testimony should be null and void. That's what all we're saying. So
the thrust of it is right before the law, that's the key thing.
Right. The Eridami is Ibikrachecha, then you have to parcel it. It must be Aide Edu Sagya. Must be, but because it's several Eduyos that were Machshirim. Now, based in, was coming along, and Basin was branding the guy Eid Zoymen, or Eid Puzzle, I should say. Basin is being Eid Zoymen. So I should say, this guy has no credibility. What credibility does he have? On this subject, at least. Whether it's retroactive, or proactive, whatever active it is, they have to deny him credibility. Right? Because Basin apostles him, the Basin say he is an apostle. He's chashur. He's suspect to lie in this case, at the very least, if not more, right? But they don't say that. And that's why even though he becomes apostle on the third year, they don't say, well, you're an apostle now. We can't trust in this testimony. We accept your testimony and the other two things. That's all we're trying to prove. We're not the issue of whether pass when he becomes apostle. Does he become apostle retroactively or not apostle retroactively? That's not our discussion. It happens to be, perhaps, that it seems from our sugya that it's not apostle retroactively. But that's a side thing. What we're trying to say, to focus on, is whether Basin apostles him or he apostles himself. And from here you see clearly, from the fact that Basin is willing to look at it simply, says, we don't care about the fact that all the testimonies concern an issue at which you were found to be an Eid Zoymen. Doesn't concern us. We only pass them for the thing which you actually found to be an Eid Zoymen concerning, and any Eid said at the same time as that testimony. For the fact that we wanted to put on those blinders and look only at that incident, not at any other incident, that indicates to us that Eid Zoymer may atzmo nifsal, whatever he himself said at that point of testimony on which is found to be muzam is possible, not on anything else. Okay? Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that might be what we're trying to prove here. Okay. Now, so that was proof for our Mishnah also. Because he said in our Mishnah, if they're found to be muzamim, that was how Rabbi Zira to start it. Because it says, if the same group of witnesses, right, was found to be Zoymim only on it's the same group. Where was that? Was explicit in our mission like that? Was there a case explicit in our mission like this? I'm not sure there's a case explicit in our mission like that. It should be the Gonav Abishnai Tov Maracha Pihem Nimsu Zomim Vishamin Lo Sakol. Yeah, the pay motion means that. Because our Mishnah said, look at the first pay motion. The first pay motion back in the Mishnah said that's only when they're Muslim on the Tzvicha first. No, that's not what I'm looking at. But somehow, what we're assuming is if the same group was Muzam on the Gneva, and Muzam was not Muzam on the Gneva, it was only Muzam on the Tzvichu Mechira, which I don't know, Mishnah, it would be a case, if they were found to be Zoymim only on the Tzvichu Mechira, we'd accept still that their testimony on the Gneva. So the Ghana would pay Kefil, and they would pay Arba of the three payments. So I don't see it explicit in our mission, but that's the case of Rabbi Zira Smith. Story about it. If you have the same group of witnesses to testify Neva and on Tzvicha Mechira, and they're found to be Zaymim on the Tzvicha Mechira, and they would not testify, didn't testify that Bevas Achas with the Gneva. So we say that they'll pay the Tashlum Erba Chamisha, while the Ghana pays the Kefil. So that proves that Eitzayim Me'atzmon if some Basin doesn't pass it, right? Basin doesn't say, well, you're an Eid Choshen now. So in which case we undermine their testimony on the Gneva as well. No, that stands. And on that, the Ghana pays Kefil, right? And their testimony on the Tzvicha Mechira stands, and on that, they pay the three payments. That's what he was going on. Now, the Gemara along these lines says, the Gemara now starts a new thing, an amazing thing. Ad kedum k'shebo edek nevi beidet tficha kachas. Our whole Mishnah stands where the edek nevi and edet tficha came as one. Came together. And first he had edek nevi, and then edet tficha. Except one, and then the other. So then they both got me muzamim. The Eidik Neva paid two, and the Eidik Neva Mechira paid three, right? Bo Eidik Neva Lokim, what the Eidik Neva come, we didn't accept them for some reason. Why didn't we accept them? Ichveis! Let's say the Pnei Moshe says, because they didn't provide enough data. They provided partial data. Then they said that we saw it in theft, we don't know whose octopus it was that was stolen. Then the Eidik Neva Mechira came and said, we saw a slaughter. And we know who's out to slaughter, even though we didn't see the Gneva. So now the Eidei Gneva are sustained by the Eidei Tficha Mechira. Right? Okay? So, it's a cool case. Varga bo Eidei Tficha, Amalem said that, Hevi Yodesh Kvar bo Eidei Gneva. So we say now the Eidei Tficha, you should know the Eidei Gneva already came. The Loki Bloom, we didn't accept it because they didn't have all the data. Vayidei Chonu Kalbim Osam. But because you provided the missing data, we're going to accept the Ede Gneva as well. Nimsu Ede Gneva Tvichos Zodayimim. If the Ede Tvichos turn out to be Zodayimim, Mishalim Ede Ede Gneva, they have to pay the full five payments. Four or five payments. Because the Ede Gneva were only sustained by the Ede Tvichos. So even though the Ede Tvichos didn't actually testify about the Gneva, but since they were the sustaining corroboration which allowed us to accept Ede Gneva, they bear the ultimate full responsibility and they pay all four or five payments. Ede Gneva come. We don't accept them because they're missing data. Ede Tvicha come, we didn't see the Gneva. But the data which Ede Gneva were missing, they Ede Tvicha provide. For example, who the person from whom was stolen was. So now we should know. We only accept the Ede Gneva based on your corroboration in providing the missing data. Therefore, if we find that the Ede Gneva, are Zoymimim, and you're Zoymimim too, it's not they'll pay two and you'll pay three, you'll pay all five. Because ultimately, all the Edos came based on your corroboration. And vice versa. Now, Rabbi Chizkiya lo amar ken. Rabbi Chizkiya didn't accept it this far. He said, "Ad kedu sheboim Ede Gneva ve'Ede Tvicha k'achas." He said it differently. He said, again, our Mishnah, we divide up the Ede Gneva pay two, Ede Tvicha pay three. That's when they came together. Bo Ede Tvicha v'lo kiblu osam. If the Ede Tvicha came and they didn't accept that, and then the Ede Gneva came at Omerlehan, why don't we accept the Ede Tvicha? Why don't we accept him? Because Tvicha without Gneva is nothing. That's why somebody had a barbecue. Right? Or that's why they had a barbecue. The Ede Gneva are the ones who say that Tvicha was a barbecue baser. So who makes it also here? The Ede Gneva, right? Who came subsequently. So Bo Ede Gneva Omelem, we said to Ede Gneva, heavy item, you should know, Shekvar Bo Ede Tvicha. The low key blue, keep on them, we didn't accept them. Vaidechem Onimakam, so through you will accept them. Venim Tzoyim, in that case, if the Ede Gneva found Zoyim, Beshai the Ede Tvicha, they pay for the Ede Tvicha. Now, Rabbi Chizkiya did not accept the Chiddush of who was the first opinion? There was no name in there. What? There was no name, was there? Just said Arkadun. Rabbi Chizkiya didn't accept the Arkadun. Because Arkadun holds that even Ede Gneva have to be totally on Ede Tvicha Mechira. And that, Rabbi Chizkiya, is not true. Ede Gneva stand on their own. Right? Because they're testifying to a crime. It's true they're missing data, but they testify to a crime. So they're always standing, at least semi-independently, and therefore they'll always pay the initial kefil. And the question is whether they'll pay for the Ede Tvicha Mechira will pay their portion if not, or not. However, the other thing is true. Ede Tvicha Mechira on their own, if they come first, are meaningless. That is certainly true. That he concedes. And therefore, if the Ede Gneva come afterwards, and that's what makes the Tvicha Mechira into an act of crime, so then the Ede Gneva, who made that Tvicha Mechira into an act of crime, they pay four or five. They pay the entire four or five. Why, when it's not like that, why when the Ede Tvicha Mechira come after the Ede Gneva, do they split it up, that the Ede Gneva pay two, and the Ede Tvicha Mechira pay the next two or three? Because in that case, by the time the Ede Tvicha Mechira come, they know they're testifying to a crime. Because they're coming after the Ede Gneva came. So that's why they accept by themselves responsibility. When the Ede Tvicha Mechira came first to testify to a barbecue, and then the Ede Gneva came afterwards and made that barbecue crime, then the brunt of the entire issue falls on the Ede Gneva, and they're found to be Muzomim, the Ede Gneva pay even for the Ede Tvicha's portion. Right, exactly. And there's major ramification on halacha. Right, it's weird, and it's not in the Bavli, of course. This is a tremendous chiddush of the Yerushalmi. I'm not sure what the ramifications are, but I'm sure the ramifications. Okay, let's go weiter. Halacha Dala. Gonav Abishnayim, Vatav HaChomar HaBishpiyein Echon. If you, there was a Geneva, there was two witnesses, but Tvim Mechir, there's only one witness. While Piyatzmor, he confesses on his own. So the Mishayat HaShem Kefir, there's double. But there's no additional payments. Gonav Vatav HaChomar HaBishavis. If you did the Geneva, you did the Tvicha, not the Mechira, that's a typo, on Shabbos. So you chayav Misa, right? Gronav and Tavach, it should be again, Mechira is a typo, Avodah Zorah. Then, Kila Rabbeinu, there's no payments. Also, Gronav Mishal, on the Tvicha Mechira. Also, Gronav Mishal Ovid, you stole from your father. The Mace Ovid, then your father died, so you're the heir, right? So then you're not really chayav because you were stealing, you were barbecuing your own animal, basically. Also, gonna be kdish if you were goyim and then you were makdish the animal. You got serious problems with shechting a korban, perhaps, but you don't have the problems of tvicha mechir of the owner's animal. So mishnah tashum mekeva and mishnah tashum aruch hamisha. Shimon says it depends. Kachim shuchay b'achrayusim, kachim which the owner, which you chay b'achrayusim, where you're liable for replacement, zem mishayin tashlum arav chamisha, you still debate tashlum arav chamisha, because they're still considered to be, by the way, going to be there's not the ganav was makdishit. You can't be makdishit, obviously. This is the owner was makdishit. So the parents also what he's makdishit. If it's kachim, which is makdish, he's still chayv and achrayis, mishayin tashlum arav chamisha. He's got to pay four or five because the it's kachim to which the owner still had a shaychus because he had to replace it. Mishayin achayv achusen, if the owner, original owner is not liable for them, potzu, then there's no payment to arav chamisha. Says the Gemara, skipping the first three lines because we already had them back at the beginning in halacha base. Matz Nisa, who's the author of our Mishnah, who says that once it's hekdesh, your pots are gonna be hekdesh, chayatavachumachar, there's no chiyuv of arba chamisha. Why not? So he says, it's Rabbi Shimon. Shimon, kachin shachayabachusim, shayatashum rechamisha, shayachayabachusim potter. Once you make it kachim, and you have no connection to it anymore, so it's not yours, once a kachim, to which there is no connection, the Mechira is not a valid Mechira, and that's why you're off the hook for Aruch HaMisha. Rabbi Yusser, I'm also sure, I'll ask a question like this. Not relevant directly to Asuka, but I'll come back to Asuka. Play the Kalkolim Yaradizmor. If I redeem a basket of fruit from the treasure of the Beis HaMikdash, Mal Shiti Tobel of Maisros, is it Tevel vis-a-vis Maiser? Now the Aloch is that, when you buy fruit, then you have to miser it. If you take fruit out of your field, don't have to miser it until it reaches your house. But if you buy fruit, you have to miser it the moment you buy it. Hektish fruit is potter for miser. When you redeem it, it's chayav and miser. But it's chayav miser immediately, as if it's bought, or it's pidyon not like hektish. It's only chayav and miser when it hits your house. Meiser Rei Shlokish, so Shlokish responded. But then we learned ganav hikdish shachar tavach umachar. It's a ganav hikdish shachar tavach umachar. You're exempt. Kibada to amar taman amakdish. Now, I made a mistake in the Mishnah. I made a bad mistake. I'm very sorry. Ganav hikdish is not that the original owner was makdish. It's after Yeush, and the ganav was makdish. The ganav was makdish. Our Mishnah is going to opinion that after Yeush, the ganav can be makdish. After he was makdishit, he sold it. So, and in that case, it says your potter. It says your potter from tashlumi arba chamisha, right? So, it says your potter. Rabbi Shimon says it depends what kind of kachi we made it. And again, it's the ganav who made it hekdesh, not the original owner. The ganav made hekdesh, if the ganav made it hekdesh, that is chayv and achrayis. So then he still retains some affinity to it, so if he sells it afterwards, he's chayv tashlumi arav chamisha. Or if he's tovech it afterwards, he's chayv tashlumi arav chamisha. If it's kachi to which he has no chayv anymore, he has no affinity to it anymore, and he's tovech it, so he's not chayv arav chamisha. So Shlokish says, look, Armish says, gonna be yikdish b'chakach tovachumocha. Right? That's the case in our Mishnah. You're going to be makdish and you're tovachumocha. So, what do you mean? Afterwards you're tovachumocha. What about the yikdish itself? Why aren't you liable for being the guides of God? I'm not liable for being makdish. Isn't hekdish a form of mecher? You're selling it to the Beis HaMikdash. So it must be hekdish is not a sale, right? If hekdish is not a sale, then redeeming hekdish is not a purchase either. So then it would be chayav and maisus when you redeem it from hekdish, right? Kavoso k'mar atomer tamon ha'makdish enu k'moicher kavoso ha'poyde so to redeems enu k'moicher it's not as if he bought it. Milsa the Reish Lakish Amra, however, from Reish Lakish you do learn, I didn't see anybody switch this, but you have to switch it, that Pidyon is like Mechira. The Pidyon is like a sale. The Shaila is if it's like buying it on your part, but it is like a sale. The whole Sugi and Sukkah, is Pidyon a redemption process? Is it a sale process? So you see, Pidyon is like a sale. The Shaila is whether it looks like a sale. The shail is whether it has the halachic ramifications of having purchased something. No, but it still is like a sale in the way it takes place. Okay? And it says, Yomar Royal Lipdoso L'Ochlo, I don't know what that means, but I saw in the Escorial manuscript that there are dots on top of each one of these letters. And those dots obviously mean to delete it. Whoever wrote the manuscript held that these words are a mistake, so we will hold it's a mistake. All right, you want to stop? You want to go to the Mishnah? I'm Rabbi Lezer. Let's say, Ro also. Now here also the Scorial manuscript helps. It says in the manuscript, Ro also Nitman. He's Mishochet. They saw a guy hiding in the forest and slaughtering a short shocher black ox, Biyar, in the forest. So there's a Machlivin brings out some Machlokas among the Shoinim when it says in the Bavli, whether the guy was hiding himself, or the guy was hiding the Gneva. Here we see the guy's hiding himself. We see a guy hiding himself in the forest in Shechting. We assume by definition, if he's being furtive about it, that he's a Ganav. So the Edom who see him Shech, they can also serve as witnesses that he was a Ganav, because they see him being furtive about it, right? Says, that's how they identify who the owner is. And so we saw the black ox, and this guy was acting furtive about it. So they assume that he's a ganav and he's tovach u'moicher. And how do you know whose ox it was? They don't know it was stolen. By saying it was black, so we know, it was stolen from Yaakov, who had a stolen ox, which was black. Says Mara, wait, how do you know he stole? Chashtamar Shemim Ro Rabbits. Maybe he saw a crouching ox in the forest, right? And he got, and he decided, I want to slaughter it. But he didn't actually steal it, as being furtive, because he had a guilty conscience. But who said he's the one who stole it? Departed Kshuro Moshe, where they saw him pulling it into the forest. And then furtively he was slaughtering it, so that's indication he's a ganav. Yesh b'tovech b'ashem b'mochev, yesh mochev shem b'tovech. There are differences between tovech and mochev, which is obvious, but we're just going to get into that. Shatovech b'Shabbos Chayv, if he's slaughtered on Shabbos, he's chayv miso, but parted from pain. V'amoicha b'Shabbos, if he's selling on Shabbos, you're parted from death, but you're chayv to pay. I'm Rabbi Yehuda ben Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Yeshua, so 1 second, Motzi Yeshua Mechia Chayav in Elohi Chayv Esol b'Shabbos. I have a case which you're chayv death for making a sale on Shabbos. And we had this elsewhere, I forget where, somewhere else in Yerushalmi we had this. Hagatz b'cha, what's the case? You say to your friend, Klosh mina karka hazeh ukne oso. Pull this carrot from the ground and make the kinyan thereby. On Shabbos, of course, right? And this plisha is a type of kinyan. Yerushalmi has several places. Plisha is a kinyan. Zohar lo kinyano. There must be a word missing here. It should be lo kinyano v'chayev misa. So that he, by the kinyan, by pulling from the ground, he's chayev misa. So you see, there is a kinyan Shabbos in Shabbos Chayim Misa. Rabbi Yisrael says, true, but it's not the sale which is being Chayim and Misa. Tlisha Shem Chayim is also. It's the plucking from the ground which is Chayim Misa. Lo Mechira, not the sale which is being Chayim and Misa. Okay, we'll stop here for this evening.
8 o'clock Monday.
8 o'clock Monday at Lincoln.